My name is Andrew Pontius.
And I'm Wolf Wrench.
And this is Edge Cases, a podcast about mostly Apple-related software development and classic American motorcycles. This is episode 15. We're recording on Friday, August 24th, 2012. And what's our topic this week, Wolf?
AppleScript follow-up and IPC.
Okay. And follow-up is a good word for it because there is, in fact, no regular follow-up. So, take it away.
Okay. So, a couple weeks ago, I talked about AppleScript's glorious failure and received an email.
2 weeks ago, in fact.
2 weeks ago. Thank you.
Yes.
It's you know, odd numbered weeks for me. Because apparently every show I record is an odd show. So, yes. I view them as my weeks. Weeks I actually have to think of something I want to talk about.
Right.
So Hamish... hang on, let me bring up his last name. I had it right here. Here we go. He goes by HAS online. It's pretty much how he signs his name, but it's Hamish Sanderson. And I actually know of Hamish from his work. He sent us email, follow-up email. And I know Hamish from his excellent work from the AppScript project. And he's been wrangling Apple events for a very long time. And so he even has this project called AppScript, and the URL is appscript.sourceforge.net. So you could tell he's been around for a while because that's one of the old SourceForge projects. But it's it looks very good for a SourceForge project. It doesn't look nearly as gunky as a lot of them do. And this is basically an Apple event bridge for various languages, which the primary focus is Python, but it also supports Ruby and Objective-C. And it's I've used it in a commercial project even, and it's definitely more sane than Scripting Bridge. I've also used Scripting Bridge, but we'll talk a little bit about that. But anyway, we got some good follow up here because it's a bit ranty. And it ends up being like a blog comment on Clark Gobble's blog, and so he kind of. He has a bunch of pointed criticisms for the AppleScript episode, so I'd like to kind of work through his points a little bit, and kind of branch off to a larger point. So his first criticism of the show was that I conflated AppleScript and Apple Events, and I don't know if I really did. Those are obviously very separate in my mind. I think I even mentioned that Apple Events predated AppleScript, according to Wilm Cook's AppleScript Topple paper, and I just know that just from the way it was designed. I think, well, yeah, because I mean, I was around when System 7 shipped, and that was obviously pre-AppleScript and all that. So I knew that. So I apologize if I conflated the two. Obviously, Apple Events has nothing to do really with AppleScript other than that AppleScript rides on top of it. And Apple Events is basically a pure IPC mechanism. And it was obviously very, very Mac-y and kind of was hobbled by the old classic Macs. What was it? I think we said it was 60 switches per second was the max on that, the IPC messaging speed limit on the old classic Mac OS. So I guess, I mentioned that the fact that the classic Mac IPC was so slow is actually a really good design for the internet, because you can think of an internet as a fairly high latency messaging channel. And AppleScript was designed to have like these query objects kind of built into as first class citizens of the language. And so that fits really well with the high latency model. So that's actually a really good fit. I mean, it would be really cool if like Amazon.com had a query language, had listened to a port to these messages where you could query it for different objects instead of referring to them by, say, URL. By the way, that's kind of a separate point. So if it wasn't clear, obviously AppleScript and Apple Events, two very separate things. And I think Hamish is pretty much pro Apple Events, which I don't know if I would I'm pro Apple Events. It doesn't strike me as like, I mean, if you view Apple Events as dictionaries over the wire, I don't know if I really couldn't say that they're anything more than dictionaries or the wire. So I think, you know, like JSON over HTTP is fine, like a real legitimate competitor to that.
But well, and it struck me that they're also, I mean, the format is so old now, and then there's the APIs that you use are so outdated that that saying, well, we'll put that aside and come up with something new, which Apple has already done, actually, seems like a better way to go than to keep trying to build on something so ancient at this point.
Absolutely. I mean, so here's the thing. Like, I definitely completed that. The I just talked about like JSON over HTTP, but you know, as developers know Apple events, we know it as an API. Apple never documented its wire on the wire format or what it looks like when it's doing in memory when you're doing IPC or in the same machine. So it's, you know, so and the Apple event API is totally C based and every operation can fail, and it's a very tedious API where you have to build up dictionaries one key at a time, and every time you add a key that can fail, and you have to unwind correctly, dispose of everything. So it's really quite tedious. There is an Apple event descriptor now, which helps automate a lot of this stuff, but even that's rather tedious. one thing that I'm a fan of the AppScript thing, a project he has. And AppScript, if you actually go visit the page, is on top of it, it says, watch out that, please note that AppScript is no longer developed or supported, and its use is not recommended for new projects. And that's really a shame. And I was surprised when I read this, and apparently Hamish's reason for that is that Apple has declared the Carbon Apple Event Manager a legacy API, and it's not to be used for new development. We kind of knew that because it's definitely kind of a Carbon technology, and obviously Carbon's it's been going away. It's gone for chunks of 64-bit. There's still some Carbon remnants, but he says that as of 10.7, the low-level Cocoa API still lacks essential functionality. Example given, the ability to send Apple events. And this is confusing to me because Hamish is correct that the Cocoa API, the NS Apple Event Descriptor, has no ability to send messages. That's true. But in the Core Services framework, there's the AE send message. Like the old school like Carbon API was AE send, where you actually sent the Apple event. And now, but I think since like macOS 10.0, we had this AE send message, which actually uses mock of, it's very evident that's a mock based API, which of course the Apple events AE send obviously boils down to mock as well. But the AE send message was introduced specifically to say, okay, this is something in Core Services that has not a Carbon thing. And so I actually found, while I was researching this, is that back in March, I even tweeted, like, I'll include a link here, but I tweeted, not sure why AppScript is end of life. AE send message and AE desk aren't deprecated in the 10.7 SDK. And still, I think his reason there is not valid. And I also found a thread where on the AppleScript implementers list or something that, AppleScript implementers, sure, where he was on a thread where they were talking about AE message. So I'm pretty sure Hamish knows about it, this one API. So I don't think it's news to him. So I'm still confused why AppleScript would be effectively deprecate end of life. It could be, I mean, this is kind of one man's project to basically build a better scripting system on top of Apple events. I think he's been tilting at the windmills for a long time, and so I wouldn't be surprised if he's just tired of trying to do something better.
And there might be other stuff going on too, like even if there are some APIs there, maybe they still don't cover everything that the old API did, for example. It might be something more complex than just saying, well, the API is dead. Maybe it's more than he necessarily wants to go into.
Good point.
And have you contacted him since getting the email from him? Because
no.
That would be interesting as well.
No, then you see that the problem with that is that that immediately clear up everything. I wouldn't have, you know, 40 minutes to talk to question what he's talking about, right? On the air, it wastes everyone's time. but he does also mention that there's also, so he calls NS Apple Event Descriptor the low-level Cocoa API, while the high-level Cocoa API is Scripting Bridge. And this is a little bit of a side tangent, but I do want to mention. Scripting Bridge is Apple's technology that allows you to take a scriptable application. And what it does is it reads the application's dictionary, the SDEF file, and it actually, have you ever used Scripting Bridge, Andrew?
Let's see. You mean to be able to send Apple events to an application in a language other than Apple Script?
Yeah.
It sounds familiar. I can't remember if I did it exactly, but it sounds familiar. I might have looked into it at one point.
Okay. Yeah, because it's actually really interesting, right? It reads the SDEF file, which is that XML format that I mentioned a couple shows ago, and it spits out a .h file, which is an Objective-C header file. And it says, okay, you can. These are the classes and these are the methods. And you set up your target at runtime. You can find it like with a process serial number, or you can find it with a bundle ID or something like that. And you say, and you, as if you, in you, well, you are, you're sending messages to objects. And what Scripting Bridge does is it takes those messages and it bundles them up into Apple events and sends them across a wire. And then when it comes back, it unbundles them and all that. And that's basically the high level way for your Cocoa app to control a scriptable, other scriptable application. And he says it's too flawed and limited to be a viable foundation for an app script style wrapper, which I agree with. Scripting Bridge is it works, which is amazing in itself. But it is I'm pretty much on Hamish's side that it's a kind of a mashup of incompatible ideologies, and that's kind of the larger point that I think Hamish is making here that I want to address. He does take me to task for conflating scripting language with IPC and the terms of, like, I was pro JS Talk, and he says that JS Talk conflates the two. And specifically, the JS Talk rides upon a old desktop technology called distributed objects. Have you had the pleasure of using distributed objects, Andrew?
I have.
Really? Okay.
Wow, I didn't know that it rode on top of it, though. That's not great.
Right.
But I'll let you explain.
Okay. Well, yes. Well, so distributed objects is a way for to send messages across process boundaries. It rides on top of mock messages, but the thing is that it actually also can even work across the network. So you have a LAN and you want to message this other process on another machine, it will bundle it up and set it across the network and stuff like that for you, I think. I mean, that's pretty much designed. I mean, the only ways I've used it is for local communication, but I'm pretty sure it's designed that it can write over the internets as well. And so distributed objects is a really old technology. I think it's like originated in the late 90s, and it's this idea of where is you like you have this proxy object that's local, and you send it messages, and it's going to handle all the problems for you. And Hamish points to, and I'm really glad he pointed to it, is that Peter Deutsch's 8 Fallacies of Distributed Computing. Does this ring a bell, Andrew?
No.
It's this old list. I don't see what the original date is. Maybe I see something about 1994 or something. But it's that distributed computing is hard in the general case. And these are the fallacies of distributed computing, is that the network is reliable, that latency is zero, that bandwidth is infinite, that the network is secure, that topology doesn't change, that there is one administrator, transport costs is zero, and the network is homogeneous.
Wow.
Yes. So I think this is actually a fantastic list for a show called Edge Cases, right? Because it's a list of edge cases.
Yeah.
Because it's, you know, we live in this nice TCP buffered world where we're like, oh, yeah, it's like everything just seems to be working. And there's so much that goes wrong all the time, and we tend to design these systems in terms of like the idealistic and optimistic ways of how networks should function, and it's just, you know, that it is that woodpecker that destroys civilization that comes by, right? It's these lists of edge cases, you know, they when you go through all the fallacies, it's very clear, like, why grafting a non-local messaging system, that is one that has to jump across the network, onto a, you know, thus sending messages to objects in a synchronous way, it's really a bad idea. And he goes further that he linked to an old Jens Alfke blog posting about called The Subtle Dangers of Distributed Objects. And he does a great job, and I'll put a link to that there, about all the problems of having this idea where it's as if you're talking to, you think you're talking to a local object, and that's what the abstraction is, right? But it's much more than just a leaky abstraction. Like, this thing has like 12 gauge shotgun holes throughout its body. It's you have reference counting bugs. That what does it mean when the server throws an exception? Does that, should that get boxed up and thrown across the network? Does that not? I mean, does that shut down the entire communication mechanism? If you send a one-way message to remote, if you send a non-one-way message to remote object, it will block your thread. And remember, networks are unpredictable, so latency is unpredictable. And there's also very subtle problems with, so distributed objects is a fine-grained mechanism. And so you can have very easily have embraces of death, where you have process A talking to process B, and process B talking back to process A, and you say, hey, give me this attribute on this one object, and process B says, okay, but in order to fill that request, I need to ask you this one question. And now they're both waiting forever for each other to respond. And there's a very scary line of code I added to JS Talk in the distributed object listener, and where I kind of lay out, basically you have a choice. You can fail this way, or you can fail this other way. And I'll put a link to there. And like, and both options are bad. And so distributed objects in itself kind of is this manifestation of this kind of this bankrupt ideology. And it's not a good design. And I'm totally aware of that. But, and of course, the JS Talk is right on top of it. And Hamish is correct that Apple Events is, you know, has this idea where, even, which is really odd because Apple Events was pretty much created for local IPC, but it I think it pretty much it should work pretty well over the network, because it has this idea that you are sending messages and these messages can fail, and you maybe you'll never hear back, and you can totally TCP this guy, where it's like you can put a layer in there that makes sense because you're dealing with messages that can fail and you'll get notification of failures. So it's you need to have like that asynchronous model, and where things can fail, where it's not just a local method call, because we tend to think of local method calls as something that will take a finite amount of time, a predictable amount of time, and probably won't throw an exception randomly. And when you design software that way, and you just kind of pretend like the network is wonderful, when the network isn't wonderful, bad things happen.
Well, so I was just going to say that it hasn't really been maintained and updated in a while.
Exactly.
So, yeah. I mean, there's that too, but yeah, certainly when you put it that way, sure, probably shouldn't use it.
Yeah, it's actually two things, right? So, like, I did not have the pleasure, I put pleasure in air quotes there, that for the listeners at home, I did not have the pleasure of using distributed objects on the Next boxes, but I did use it on macOS 10.0, and so Late Night Coco had a great interview with, I forget who, but I probably can dig up a link there, where he talked about the problems with distributed objects, not just from a, like a philosophical standpoint, but in terms of like memory leaks and how to work around them. And it was pretty hard to get a long-time reliable distributed objects server going, I think in macOS 10.3 and earlier. I think finally they fixed stuff in 10.4 and later. But so it's we haven't had a real good distributed objects implementation in general for a large chunk of macOS 10's lifespan. And now it's also being kind of left behind that there's, what is it? It's NSXPC connection. This is a new 10.8 mm-hmm. technology, Mountain Lion, for you kids who actually care about the big cats. And so we had this thing called XPC that was introduced, I think, in 10.7. I forget what cat it is. It's like, I guess like Plain Lion, right?
Lion, yes.
And it's XPC is for external process communication or something like that. But it's funny, right? Because like all the stuff always boils down to mock messages. But mock messages itself is problematic in terms of I would say it's very complicated and also has. I wouldn't call it abstraction leakage. I would just say that like it tends to be way too gearheady. So,
Feels like it's Apple events times 100, right? Because Apple events are hard to assemble. Well, you know, mock messages are much harder to assemble than Apple events, in my understanding.
Yeah, don't you? I know there's the mock interface generator, which basically gives some sort of, some sort of description. It spits out a header file, right?
I think, yeah.
And all I know is that Quinn has been telling people for years, stay away from it.
Stay away from it, yeah.
And as you know, when Quinn tells you to stay away from something, I'm just going to say, okay. For people who don't know, that's Quinn the Eskimo, long sufferer of the, I think he still works in DTS, but Apple Developer Technical Support. But he's long suffered the developers trying to get stuff done. And he's such a great guy. He goes back all the way into like System 6, probably even before that days. And if you ever get a chance to buy him a beer, you definitely should. But anyway, so XPC is Apple's basically new communication system that's, of course, based on mock, because everything has to be based on mock. But
yes. And it's used for pieces. I could be wrong about this, but I believe it's used for pieces of an application which are what's the name of it? The thing where you have different pieces of your app have different rights assigned to them.
Entitlements.
Entitlements, and then how they talk to each other. I believe that's...
Yeah, that's pretty much, it seemed to be the thrust, is that mock messages are very complicated, and anyone can message anyone, and XPC seems to be kind of like the reboot of that, to be with the focus of you have your app in a chunk, and like you have a good example is like Safari, right? That's Safari will go fetch HTML and maybe render and like parse it or maybe render a ping, and that is ripe for buffer overflow attacks. So if you put it in its own process and it crashes, and that way people won't be able to like read your bookmarks or spoof other pages, hopefully. So it's the idea of kind of breaking your app into multiple processes, and XPC is the mechanism for communicating between them, which is the new modern way of doing things. And it seems to be pretty much a full-scale replacement for the distributed objects technology.
It's a replacement for Apple events too, because they used to say, "Well, break up your app into a server and a client." We talked about this last time around, mm-hmm. and have them talk to each other through Apple events. So it feels like it's a spiritual replacement, even if it isn't exactly the same kind of technology.
Right, and well, here's the thing: is that you know it's interesting because like it has the same idea of having with the new NSXPC connection, you have this idea of remote objects and remote proxies. Your client will have this proxy object, you message as if you have a local object, and it's going to turn that into mock messages and talk to your sub process or what have you. This is actually, I don't think, is as bad. You know, distributed objects tend to be like random applications talking to each other that may occur over the network. This XPC and NSXPC connection seems to be designed with the idea that you have a child process you're communicating with, and it's going to be local. So I think perhaps that is that helps a lot in terms of not having this bankrupt ideology that you're trying to make happen that is kind of fundamentally can't happen. Distributed objects is basically still alive. It's definitely on its way out. And maybe JS Talk can be rebooted into using XPC. I don't know, because I haven't really looked at whether it can target arbitrary other things. I see this like a NIT with mock service name thing. So it looks like it might be able to target arbitrary things. But in general, anything that JS Talk is guilty of this, that you know, it seems as if you're sending local messages to local objects, but those get magically turned into remote invocations of the thing you're trying to script, and that's in general a bad idea. I think that's one of the big points that Hamish wanted to point out. Another point is that we got another follow-up email from Michael Buckley, and he was talking about the problems of the standard way of of, I wouldn't say the standard way, I don't even call the recommended way, but, you know, so you have your Mac app and you want to expose it for scripting, and kind of the default way, I would say, is that you'd hook up your NS application, or maybe say your application delegate, but probably your NS application instance, and vend it via distributed objects, or you basically set up as a listener, a DO listener. And this is, he rightfully points out that this is probably a bad idea because you're basically exposing your entire application and your clients can call any method willy-nilly. And this is, it's not a good idea. And it's actually, I have a half finished blog posting about this that's been sitting for a couple of years now about how the correct way to do this is to create a specific class that you set up for as your distributed object listener. And the methods on that are the methods you intend to expose to your clients, and that's it. And that gives you a lot more control over what you want your clients to be able to do. And, but that's what's kind of a little side tangent, but we have this issue called sandboxing, right? And inter-process communication with sandboxing is, in general, a problematic issue. Apple has taken a good step forward with us with how apps can communicate with each other in the new sandboxing world with 10.8. I don't know if Apple is interested in applications communicating each other on iOS. I mean, I have to imagine, but right now they have URL handler thing. Do you know of anything more advanced than that?
No, and I believe I've been hearing people talk about this on other podcasts. And while you can do some pretty amazing things with that URL handling approach, things that you wouldn't imagine if you basically twist it into basically being a way to pass messages,
right?
There isn't anything other than that.
Well, it's also interesting that the XPC stuff seems to be Mac only. Because it really kind of relies on this idea that you have kind of a separate binary, a separate tool binary that you can fork and have it as a child process, and then you communicate with it. And of course, on iOS, you don't have the ability to spawn additional processes.
Right. I mean, the whole environment is more battened down such that some of these techniques are less necessary on iOS.
That's true. That might be a bigger issue, yeah. Although I wouldn't be surprised if maybe WebKit on iOS has maybe on iOS 6 or maybe a later version wouldn't eventually have like XPC helpers running in the background that you don't directly invoke but can be invoked on your behalf.
Absolutely. Well, certainly the idea that Apple would be able to use some of these technologies on iOS itself makes a lot of sense, mm-hmm. just to make the whole OS more secure, but still not be vending them to the app, third-party app developers just yet, right. If ever.
Mm-hmm. So apparently Apple is with 10.8 is actually working on, or I'm acting like 10.8 hasn't shipped, but it has. So I think this is, I haven't used this yet, but apparently there are new sandboxing exemptions, or entitlements, I guess, for communication. Basically, one of the big limitations when Sandbox was created was that you could not send Apple events. And you can understand that's, you know, being able to script the Finder from an arbitrary application, you can do almost anything. And so you can see that to be a pretty big security hole. And you can see why Apple would want to just say, hey, we're gonna close the barn door here all the way.
Well, yeah, but then it's so useful. Like, you're cutting out so much functionality by closing it down completely that it seems like that just can't be their long-term solution.
And it isn't. This is one of the topics, potential future topics, is that this like Apple's communication system and the ramifications thereof. But, Apple closed the barn door on sending Apple events and sandbox apps in general. And there was the only exception there was that you could ask for a temporary entitlement to like send Apple events to iTunes. And that was it. That was like, and you know, developers were left out in the cold wondering, is this the end or what's going on? And is this the brave new world? In 10.8, the situation is considerably better that I haven't looked into too much details, and I think I even watched the session, but apparently it's all fallen out of my head. But I know there is something to do with sandboxing, allowing you to, you can, there are new entitlements. You can say, hey, I want to be able to script this specific app. And the sandboxing mechanism, I believe, will actually read the SDEFs, the scripting definition files, and make sure that the messages you want to be able to send are the messages that you are indeed sending. And that actually sounds like a really good idea to me, that kind of fine-grained control. Like, because we have these scripting definition files that tell you what exactly what verbs are going over the wire. And so basically lock that down, it might cut down the dynamicism, but in general, it seems to be a pretty good idea.
Yeah, certainly. I guess the idea being that if you could send arbitrary commands to arbitrary applications, you might be able to, it would be more easy to find security holes in other applications as opposed to, all you can do is send me the stuff that I say I can accept. That could still expose some security holes if you can send it data that make it do things that it really shouldn't do. But it does cut down on them.
Right. I mean, then that's how pretty much a lot of exploits are found today is through that technique of kind of sending random junk to random apps. And that technique is known as fuzzing. And it can be very effective. And so, I'll put a link to what Hamish wrote here. But long story short is that I agree with a lot of it, that distributed objects is problematic and JS Talk rise on top of it. So that's problematic in itself. Apple events aren't necessarily, bad thing, but they're pretty much old technology that is being left behind, unfortunately. And XPC and NSXPC connection, I don't know if that's the brave new world of inter-application communication on the Mac and maybe even iOS. I don't have a problem with it so long as it seems. I mean, the nice thing about it is that. With this NSXPC connection is that now it seems to directly support collection classes like plus, like so NS dictionary, right. Mm-hmm. NS array, and that's a big deal. There was a GitHub project that added support for these things because it seemed like the obvious thing, right? And you have to push these collection classes back and forth, and the 10.7 version of XPC did not have that. So that was just a lot of boilerplate that no one needed to write, so I'm glad it's supported on 10.8. It's like, it almost seemed like, to me, like the 10.7 implementation thus really shouldn't, it was there, but it wasn't really ready for prime time.
Well, what you're saying about them using the SDEF, it would seem to indicate that Apple events are part of Apple's envisioned future of things.
Good point.
Because otherwise they would use something different. And I've always been fascinated about how Apple is very willing to use existing technologies that aren't quite the best that they could do for the sake of getting something out there, in a particular release. They may eventually want to completely replace Apple events, the mechanism that they use, all the APIs that they use. But until they're damn ready to do that, they'll have people use what they have. I guess they'll make... they'll make further incremental improvements to it based on what they need at the moment. And that's, that's how they ship in a lot of ways. So it's interesting. On the other hand, they could deprecate it in 10.9.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. You change my mind on that. I guess you're right. They probably wouldn't have done the SDEF stuff if Apple events did not have a future. So I guess Apple events keep on riding high there. So, yeah. So distributed, down with the distributed objects, up with Apple events and XPC, and maybe we can get JS Talk to work over there. But, yeah, this is a tricky issue because, obviously, Apple Script did not catch fire. And AppScript, it seems like Hamish has given up. I would like to recommend that.
AppleScript has... Do you really think, AppleScript, yes, as we said last time around, AppleScript is dead. I'm not sure if there's really, it's like when you say like FireWire is dead. Well, a lot of people are still using it.
Sure.
It's definitely not the future, but a lot of people are still using it. And the replacement for Apple events or AppleScript. Yep. See here, are we conflating things now? Certainly AppleScript could die without Apple events dying. Mm-hmm. And Apple may not care at that point. As long as your apps can still talk to each other, whether developers can write scripts to make stuff work, is less of an interest to them. They care less about what scripting language you use to do it, mm-hmm. as long as the Apple events are working and are security conscious in the new App Store world. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And so I guess probably the big problem is that if you're writing a brand new app now and you want to be scriptable from outside, what do you do? And it seems like there are no good answers right now.
Well, let's say if I or you were writing an app right now, the answer is still to use Apple Events. That would seem to be the way to go.
See, I would say, I would say the same recommendation. For all the problems of JS Talk and distributed objects, right now, it is so easy to edit that basically you can add that support and could be done inside a day and you're done, right? So yes, it's not a great backbone technology, but it works today and it works really easy for the implementer. And there was some talk on this thread and another Ars Technica thread about how popular JavaScript is. And JavaScript is very popular. So I think it's a lot more popular than AppleScript. So I think it's still a much better way to implement scriptability. So you could even view it as this kind of a bridge technology until we figure out what the future should be. Because there are no good answers for now, but JS Talk is really cheap to implement.
Yeah. Oh, so you're saying JS Talk is the way to allow other people to use JavaScript to script your app
right
now. Mm-hmm. Well, and maybe I'm just coming at it from a different angle, but I don't necessarily see a big demand for this sort of thing. I write a native Mac app. Are there really going to be lots of people clamoring for ways to script it? And they'll say to me or to anyone else, my God, I really want to use JavaScript to do that. Is there a lot of people out there saying I need to do that?
No, and here's the thing: is that there is a certain, and it obviously depends on the app, right? But there are people who want to script things, right? And the type of people who want to script things, they'll use whatever language you give them, right? And so JavaScript as a language you give them is not a bad language. I mean, JavaScript obviously has a bunch of problems, but all languages have a bunch of problems. And at least it's popular on web pages, so they'll have a lot of good reference material as well. And the point is that, yes, it is probably a very small, but I would say they're vocal, but a very small group of people, and that's yet another win for JS Talk, in that day, you could give them the things they need to go and work on their own thing. And versus, you've implemented scriptability, you know what an absolute pain is, and it's a lot more of a pain than adding, forgetting the scripting side of things, just adding Apple event support. And we tend to think of Apple events in terms of AppleScript and the types of mechanisms you have to add to your app. But if you just want to support like a flat kind of message-based interface to your app, the distributed objects approach is such a slam dunk because you're saying these are the classes, this is how things are interwoven, and these are the methods I support. You have to re-implement all that, or at least implement a flattened subset of there. So this JS Talk is so cheap, that's why it wins, and it's still in my book.
Okay.
Yep, and that does it for me.
That's for you. Okay, great. So, all right. I guess that's it for this week. You can go visit our website, edgecasesshow.com, all one word, for show notes, a link to our podcast on iTunes, and more. And you can reach us individually on Twitter, myself, A. Pontius, A-P-O-N-T-I-O-U-S, and Wolf, his last name, Wrench. That's the word rent, R-A-N-T, plus Z, plus S-C-H. And we'll see you next time.